KUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. A suspect's in custody in the murders of a Minnesota state senator and her husband. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
They say they found a list of more than 50 possible targets, including lawmakers and abortion rights advocates and clinics.
Another state lawmaker and his wife were wounded. Iran's fired a new wave of missile attacks on Israel. At least five people have been killed. CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
A ballistic missile from Iran carries a 2,000-pound warhead, and some of these have been able to evade Israeli defenses and crash into heavily populated areas with deadly consequences.
Israel says it's achieved air superiority over Tehran. Shohei Ohtani will be on the mound for the first time since August 2023 at tonight's game against the Padres. L.A. manager Dave Roberts.
It's great for the game. It's good for our team. Our guys are excited about this potential. And obviously, most important, I'm excited for Shohei.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. There's still a lot to learn about the Wisconsin connections of the shooter arrested last night who assassinated a Minnesota lawmaker and her husband and shot another lawmaker and his wife. Some elected officials in the Badger State left their homes for their own safety after being named on the shooter's so-called hit list. Savannah Tomei Olson has more.
Officials say Vance Bolter impersonated a police officer early Saturday morning in order to kill Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark. Authorities say he also shot Minnesota State Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette, who have had surgery and are reportedly in stable condition. Authorities allegedly found a manifesto of sorts, which listed dozens of Democratic lawmakers he wanted to target. And a source confirmed to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel 11 Wisconsin lawmakers were on that list. CNN reports Bolter's LinkedIn page shows he attended Cardinal Stritch University in Fox Point from 2008 to 2016.
The person arrested for defacing a Milwaukee temple says they acted alone. Temple menorah in Milwaukee was targeted by vandalism early yesterday. According to a statement from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, police took a suspect into custody. We're working on learning more about that suspect. Officials say there is no reason to believe there's an ongoing threat to the public. It was the Army in Washington over the weekend, and the Navy is now coming to Milwaukee next month. Milwaukee has been selected as one of 15 cities in the country for several special performances from the Navy band based at Great Lakes. What's called Milwaukee Navy Week will run July 16th through the 18th, with the band performing free concerts across the city. Shows are planned at Red Arrow Park, the Mequon Public Market, and at Bastille Days. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at waukradio.com.
The Brewers cut the cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers head to Chicago to open a series against the Cubs tomorrow night. Yesterday, the Brewers beat the Cardinals 3-2 to win the four-game series and move up into second place. Did things get testy with St. Louis over the weekend? The Brewers' Trevor McGill.
I mean, tensions were high. Everything surrounding that's happened over the series. So, yeah, that's huge for us. 3 out of 4 and get out of the jam like that.
Reese Hoskins got beaned. The Cardinals' Wilson Contreras having words with the Brewers' bench. Pat Murphy.
Cardinals Brewers, man, there's always going to be high emotion. The health of the game is that you let players, especially veterans like that, handle what they handle. If we feel like somebody's thrown at us on purpose, the umpires will take care of it.
Girls high school softball, the Kokona Ghosts, with a 1-0 win over Kenosha Bradford to clinch their fourth state division title in the last 5 years.
I mean, it hasn't quite settled in yet, but it's an amazing feeling. I mean, I wouldn't want to go out any other way, so it's just incredible.
That's senior pitcher Carly Meredith with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 20 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. FreedomFireworksWI.com.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 75 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. A few scattered thunderstorms after midnight. Our low 64 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms. There could be some heavy rain late tomorrow into tomorrow night. High tomorrow, 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 20 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials. Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by Matt Rothschild. We go deep on book banning in Florida. Did you read Judy Blume? Did you like it? Well, Florida kids won't be able to read it anymore. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Right on time. There we go.
Look at it. Ross, Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, this doesn't look like my Lake Wissota studio at all, Parker.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't feel like it, let me tell you.
No, not even close. But, you know, here we are somewhere on the prairies of Saskatchewan, complete with, you know, prairie dogs popping in and out around here. And John and Gordy joining us from our Madison station as well. In A1, Parker's in A2, and we've explained that story before, but it's going to be worth explaining again this time. John and Gordy, you hearing me okay?
We can hear you. Yes.
Okay. All right. So tell me, I've heard Parker's version. Tell me the story now of how you guys chased away my 7:30 guest.
Well, we were on the air. That was interesting. And a person started wandering into the station.
As one does. Yes.
You know. And was, you know, and so he just continued to wander for a couple of minutes.
He was patiently waiting. And we thought that maybe we had double booked. And that's how we approached it, as a double book.
Yeah. So when
we apologized,
we went into a commercial break and started talking to him, and we didn't know who he was. He didn't know who he had talked to be on the air. We thought, you know, maybe our previous producer, Sam, had booked him and we didn't get the word.
And I like how this is everything about this says, you know, Luke booked this guy. And so I'm putting this all on Mathers right now. Yeah. Mathers should have been there to hold his hand and walk him down to that broom closet where it's not obvious that there is an A2 to go along with the palatial A1. So I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. You know, live radio.
We freaked out and we're apologizing to you. Oh, right, you're on the air.
No apology needed there. Especially if you bring a good story. And that, guys, that's a good story. I like that.
Story, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I hope you can rebook him at some future date.
You know, I got higher price. I got to rebook a flight so I can get out of Canada here. You know, first before I can get to you. So we got a one step at a time. And again, it's Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. Good guy, good group. No doubt that they will be back. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well to talk about the forecast. It's a sunny, partly cloudy morning up here on the prairies of Saskatchewan, where again it got really warm yesterday. But Brittany, what does the picture look like for Wisconsin today?
You know, before I get to that, I have a question for you, though, Pat. Up in Canada, how's that wildfire smoke?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. It was not great on Friday and Saturday, but it was pretty much gone on Sunday because, I mean, you've seen the maps and you see how the smoke gets grabbed by the wind and kind of rounds the bend and then pours into Wisconsin and Minnesota and places like that. So Saskatchewan, or where Regina is, it's like due south of the fires, but the way the wind was blowing, you weren't getting as much smoke. And now today there's not a smoke problem at all, but they will tell you the fires are still a major problem up there. You know, we think of it as like uninhabited, you know, maybe some Eskimos have a summer home there, but no, there are actually a lot of folks living up there that are losing homes. Is the smoke situation better down there yet?
Oh, it's trying to. There, this morning we were still at moderate levels, but a lot of the places up north were getting much better. So we're getting there. Goodness, that's scary though to think about and to be so close to as well.
Right. So what do we got around in Wisconsin now?
So right now we're waking up to temperatures at about 52 degrees in Superior, 70 right now in La Crosse, which that is warmer than the north got all weekend long. So we are warming up all across the state today. Highs making it to about 80 to 85 degrees. It's muggy. It's getting sticky. It's getting humid. We've got a little bit of light rain rolling through southern parts of the state. A few showers and storms expected to pop up this afternoon. And then a major line wanting to roll through this evening, starting northwest and pushing through the entire state through late tonight and overnight. Now, of course, as this storm starts, probably around 4 to 6 o'clock or so far northwest, it's going to be in its worst situation where we could see some large hail, damaging high wind gusts, and a tornado or two is possible. Can't rule that out. So pay attention when they start to spark up around Minneapolis and they push in towards western Wisconsin. That's, of course, where they're going to be the strongest. But as they move into central Wisconsin, they should be weakening. And off into eastern Wisconsin by Lake Michigan, they're pretty much going to ease up and dissipate there. But those will be moving through overnight, late tonight, and more are expected again tomorrow as that heat and humidity sticks here with us.
It would help if I took myself off mute where I was trying to have some coffee here. My friends up here in Regina, the one is a native of Saskatchewan, she is, but her husband is from London originally. Doesn't drink coffee, nothing but tea. And so look, they tried to make coffee for me, but they only had these little teeny espresso cups for the coffee.
Pinky up.
Which has there's definitely some tea in there. Nobody should drink tea early in the morning, but we'll give it our best. Brittany, thank you so much. I hope to talk to you from normal circumstances tomorrow.
Absolutely. Safe travels back.
Whatever the heck those are. So we noted in today's history lesson that it was on this day in 1980 that the original Blues Brothers movie came out. If you take a look behind John and Gordy on social media, you see one of the original promo posters for the Blues Brothers, or at least that's the way it kind of looks here with these two handsome dudes in their sunglasses. John and Gordy, what's the story on that? Did you guys have a cameo role, or what's with the promo photo there? I think we lost their audio. Let's see. Now we're going to ask Dom to turn up their microphones so that we can hear them again. Hey, there we go.
We'll see.
Here. Look at this. We're watching Dom now race into the studio. Oh, I know. It's like having mimes on the radio, you know?
It's exactly what you want on radio is mimes.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. They're stuck in a box now. Oh, and they've...
And now they're just gone. Locked out. Oh, geez.
Well, I think we've... Clearly, John and Gordy have had enough of this.
Yes.
these are talented, large market individuals that do not need to be spending time with a guy who can't even get out of Saskatchewan, you know, to run a radio show. But we do see that they are trying to pop on again, so that'll be nice. So let me set up what we're going to do after we're done talking with John and Gordy for this half hour. It's at that point that I have to depart for the airport and hopefully get out of here today, and then be back in Chippewa Falls tomorrow with you for another edition of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, formerly Up North News Radio, where we will talk about the news of the day. The news of today has been honestly pretty sad, and so we haven't spent nearly as much time dwelling on it because... not just for the sadness, but again, the redundancy. We've been thinking about this all weekend, the murder of a Minnesota lawmaker and her husband, and the shooting of another Minnesota lawmaker and his wife. The suspect was arrested late yesterday, and you know, based on his extensive history, it appears to be continuing this string of right-wing political violence, which is becoming far too normal in this country. And I guess we can only hope that justice is done for him, and that in doing so, it will, you know, prevent any other possibilities where people think that this is going to be normal in America. I worry about it, though, because we've managed to normalize school shootings. It would have seemed to me after Columbine, this nation would have moved heaven and earth to do something about the gun problem in this country. And instead, there's been no shortage of Americans who get elected to office and say to you with a straight face, it's not that, it's a mental health problem. And yet the Joint Finance Committee this week in the legislature cut mental health funding for schools. So we have a lot of work to do to cover the news of the situation. But again, we'll cover more of that tomorrow when hopefully things are more back to normal. Not what this is, which is poor Johnny Gordy being bounced around. Yeah, now I can hear you just fine again. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show, John and Gordy, after a long absence. Yes, sir.
I have a question for first of all, why are you in Canada and why is your graphic say you're stranded there? Why did you go to Canada in the first place and why are you stranded?
We have some dear friends up here just outside of Regina, Saskatchewan. We actually met them during our 3 years living in the Caribbean on Grand Cayman. And Sherry was working down there as an OBGYN. I was working at the TV station. She was an OBGYN, and her pediatrician was originally from London. He met a girl who was originally from Regina. They got married, and we came back from Grand Cayman back to Wisconsin, and she came back to Regina with a husband from London in tow. And that's so now, instead of visiting them on an island, we have to come up here on the tundra to come see them.
What is
so
difference?
Yes. Okay. So that's our convoluted thing of how we got there. Okay. Going to be a quick weekend visit. No problem. We get in, we get out, nothing to it, unless, of course, the plane doesn't start. And apparently the airline up here in Canada, not known for having a lot of spare planes lying around. So we have to hope that this thing heads over to Barney's garage and is fixed in time for a flight this morning instead. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it because I can tell in other people when I was sending messages like, oh, way to extend your vacation. I'm like, you know what? If I were going to extend a vacation, it wouldn't have been through all the stuff we went through yesterday, only to have this little sip of interesting tasting coffee.
That is the smallest cup I've ever seen. Do they have nice diners up there? And
oh yeah, they do. They have food? Yep, they have great food. Oh, can we talk about the poutine for a second?
Please. Yes.
No, if we do, I'll never leave. It's how is poutine not invented in Wisconsin? It's cheese curds.
Yes.
It's gravy. It's French fries. I do not understand how this wasn't invented in Madison or, you know, Wisconsin Dells or something like that. Canada, you did right by our cheese curds.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it should be a big thing down here too. Why didn't we absorb some of that down here in Wisconsin?
I know.
So close.
We're just so focused on making sure it squeaks just right that we forgot there's ways to serve it up warm and delicious. So
you might remember one of the politicians at the state capitol, a Republican, wanted to take butter off our tables.
Oh my gosh.
You remember they wanted to repeal that law that required butter on every table in a restaurant in Wisconsin.
Sacrilege. Just absolute
unbelievable.
Sacrilege. Jeez.
I know.
How was your guys this weekend?
Good. Gordy attended the protest down here, the No Kings protest.
Yeah, and it was well attended, about 15,000 people in the state capitol area and up to the library mall. And they had a women's march before the protest that happened at the capitol. And everything was very peaceful. In fact, it was kind of a festive atmosphere. Didn't see any signs of any trouble. I don't think there were any problems with it. And it was well attended. And
yeah,
it was all good.
15,000, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And then the other thing that you had in some communities was you actually had a pride march that was going on. And then in some cases, they kind of, you know, merged at some point to become more of a larger rally. And as we were talking earlier in the last hour and hearing from an organizer of one of the Eau Claire protests, they were talking about how refreshing it was to see that there were people, Republicans or fiscal conservatives, who said, you know, this is not the kind of world that we want to live in, where we've normalized things that should not be normalized, and that people want to come together and say, we can do better than this.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's such a strange thing to see the military on our streets.
Yeah.
And the normalization of putting the military on our streets.
Yeah, it was, and it shouldn't be. And I think that that really sent a statement this weekend that people would protest that way instead of trying to disrupt what was happening in D.C. So for folks along in the network, a local update is next for some of you. For the rest of you hanging here, we're going to talk more with John and Gordy. And then in our next half hour, Parker will be talking to author Laura Bird. And that's all coming to you from, well, I used to say the heart of America's up north, but... the Canadian from the heart of Canada's up north, up here on the prairies. Thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bath water into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks.
Yeah. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Now, you may or may not know this, but I'm the co-host of Matin Air on Air, which is right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday with the incomparable Jane Matin Air at the helm. And this past week, we sat down with Brad Sturmer. He's the principal for Windskill Elementary School in Lancaster, Wisconsin. And he joined the show to talk about their phenomenal work, they're doing to increase math scores and literacy skills. It wasn't an easy job, but Mr. Sturmer, I'm going to call him Mr. Sturmer because he's the principal, gave us the secret behind this incredible, incredible job they're doing.
Well, there's definitely a lot to it. But, you know, it all starts with the people. We have great people in place here at Windskill, teaching staff, support staff. You know, whenever I talk about things like this and, you know, how do you have the successes you do, I talk about people's structures and systems. But it's definitely people first. You really got to build a strong culture. I started here 7 years ago as elementary principal, and that was the focus year one, because we had a strong team in place, but culture and climate really needed to improve. So that's kind of where I start with that conversation, Jane, is, you know, people first, culture first, and that's got to always be the focus.
Brad, what is your background personally?
I was a high school math teacher for 15 years. Just growing up, I loved math. And it was a math major in college and decided to teach because I wanted to help others with, you know, with my math skills. So 15 years in that. The last three, I also did some administrative work as an assistant principal. And then the elementary job came open in my district, and it's kind of felt like what I was called to do. And so now I'm here, and I love it.
Good for you. Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you for doing that. And I think teachers are heroes. I could not do your job even for one day without losing my mind. So I have so much respect for teachers. Is it? I always thought, Brad, and hopefully I'm wrong, that there are just some people who get math and others who don't. Or is it really about the way that it is presented to people that's more of an issue?
Definitely the latter, you know, how it's taught to kids, because all kids can learn math and how to do it. It's, you know, unfortunately, the way that, you know, a lot of us were taught math, probably you guys, myself included, it just isn't the way that it should be done. There's you really got to focus on the why behind mathematics, and building the foundational knowledge at these early ages is absolutely critical. I mean, sometimes people overlook the importance of the early ages in education for some reason. The reality is, if kids don't, if they're not at grade level by the end of third grade with regards to mathematics at grade level or higher, they're very, very likely to always struggle with math. And therefore what ends up happening is, if kids struggle at math, and then you're getting taught fourth grade, fifth grade, the subject that's very challenging for you, you're going to end up basically hating it at some point.
You feel like a failure. You feel like you're, yeah. At least I did. It's like, there's something wrong with me that I don't get this and everybody else gets it.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate, because that's just not the case. And, you know, along with that, what comes with that too, the I hate math, I can't do math, a lot of times behaviors will come up too, because just think of us as adults. Like if somebody's asking us to do something that's really hard for us, and we can't do it, and it's every day, right? Every day, you know, we need to do this, you need to do this. Like, it's hard, I can't do this. Well, eventually, you know, kids are going to they're going to have behavior problems.
Act out,
they
want to
get out
bit.
Of class, yeah. Or whatever it might be. Yeah. So,
well, yes. Thank you for making me show up every day so I can fail is essentially what it feels like. Right.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, can we blame kids for that? I mean, as think of us as adults, what would you do if you were asked to do something really, really hard every day? And then you start feeling, you know, like you're just not like you guys were saying, like,
you're not good enough. Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with me? So we really need to put the ownership on ourselves as educators and leaders in education, that it's our job to make sure that we do our job very, very well, especially at an early age.
Brad, if you wouldn't mind going into a few more specifics about how this works, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I'll start with a quick reminder. It's people first, culture first, always. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the forefront of every conversation that anybody listens to. Because without strong people, without a strong culture, none of the structures and systems I'm going to talk about work. One of the key structures is your schedule, right? You gotta have 90 minutes of math at every grade level. And there's a lot of schools that don't have that. I mean, our school, when I first got here, I kind of did an audit of the schedule and how much time you're putting towards math. And I mean, some grade levels are doing 45 minutes a day, which is just unacceptable. It's gotta be 90 minutes. You got to put at least 60 in there for core, just like what you're delivering to all students. And then 30 minutes of some time that you can use to enrich your kids, the kids that need to be pushed in math. And sometimes that people lose focus on that. But there's a lot of kids that get bored with math because they learn it rather quickly, or they already know it. So that 30 minutes, you got to have time to enrich those kids, but also time for some interventions for the kids that it's a little bit more of a struggle for, and you got to give them a little double dose of what you're doing, because teachers love their kids and they have a lot of passion for what they do. And if you put that passion towards one subject, that can be really beneficial.
That was a great discussion we had with Brad Sturmer. And I am a little biased because it was our show, but you can listen to the entire interview by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Matt and Air on Air, and you can listen to all sorts of interviews we've done, segments, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, great stuff there at civicmedia.us, as well as other shows here on the network. You can also subscribe to the show as a podcast. Go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice, search Matt and Air on Air, and you can subscribe there, and you can leave us a 5-star review, which goes a really long way for visibility. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. It is 8:29.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Dem delegates picked Devin in the Dells. At a convention in Wisconsin Dells over the weekend, Devin Remmerker was elected the new chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, taking over from Ben Wickler. It's a July 1st transition date, and it's a 6-year tenure for Remmerker. In his victory statement, he praised the party's achievements and pledged to build on its momentum as a national model for democratic success.
We need to be very clear and consistent in our messaging. You'll probably hear me say a lot that we are the party that fights for the working class, defends our rights and freedoms, and protects our very democracy. I think that that is really at the heart of what the Democratic Party needs to stand for right now. We're going to repeat it in as many mediums as we can.
Remmerker emphasized the urgency of the next 18 months, vowing to fight for working families, protecting rights, and defending democracy in Wisconsin. Preparations are underway for the nation's oldest and longest Juneteenth parade. The Milwaukee tradition takes off Thursday morning with the parade and festival along Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. At night, the festivities continue at Summerfest with live performances by the Isley Brothers and Eric Benet. It's an official holiday, so city offices will be closed and garbage collection rescheduled. A third of Wisconsin's population doesn't drive, and that number is expected to grow. To address the issue, the state's Department of Transportation is taking action. There was a gathering last week of what's called the Non-Driver Advisory Committee. It's comprised of advocates, service providers, and government officials, and they discussed how new technology and community partnerships can improve access for non-drivers. Most of Wisconsin's non-drivers include seniors, students, people with disabilities, and low-income individuals. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Alan Ritchson has played Reacher for 3 seasons now, and season 4 is currently in production. It's a good gig because there are 29 Reacher books, and each one equals 1 TV season, which could keep an actor working for quite a while. The role is iconic and based on the books by Lee Child. Ritchson says when he won the role, he was nervous about trying to fill the shoes of Tom Cruise, who played the character in the movies. Ritchson says he was really thrilled when he got the part, but recently said that he was even more excited when he realized the character Reacher in the book eventually has thinning hair. Richson says he erupted in cheers when he read that because there is no pressure now to not go bald, which for a guy can be a challenge over the course of 29 TV seasons. Great show. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to around 75 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. A few scattered thunderstorms after midnight. Our low 64 tomorrow. Mostly cloudy. Scattered thunderstorms. There could be some heavy rain late tomorrow into tomorrow night. High tomorrow, 81. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the news from over the weekend and wrap it up with audio sorbet and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I am not the aforementioned Pat Kreitlow. He is hopefully en route to the airport so he can return stateside from our friends in the Great North. I'm Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat for this final half hour here on a Monday morning of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow across the Civic Media Radio Network. Author Laura Bird is with us now, and this time around, for your summer reading recommendation, she's going to help us understand memoirs. They're not the same as autobiographies, which I learned just recently, so in my mind, very similar, but you're going to tell us about the difference in the characteristics and give us several examples you might want to pick up for your next addition to your nightstand, your beach bag, or your bookshelf. Laura Bird, welcome to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you. It is awesome to be here in studio.
Yes, yes. Great. You're joining us in studio. We are thrilled to have you. Pat was looking forward to having you in the studio for the first time for this conversation, and I kind of get to steal his thunder. So
it's great to be here.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's excellent to have you with us. And so autobiographies versus memoirs, picking it up for the summer reading list. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what makes the two different?
Sure. Let me start by saying I'm so happy to be talking about memoirs because it is one of my favorite genres. You know, I think in life, we all go through tough times. We all go through difficulties. And sometimes we feel really alone in those. But when you pick up a book and you open up the pages, you find that there are so many other people that have been through similar experiences. Mm-hmm. And it's very comforting in a way, I think, to find that sense of validation and even a sense of community, if you will. In fact, James Baldwin, a novelist, once said, "You think your pain and your heartbreak are unprecedented in the history of the world, but then you read." So yet another reason. Yeah, it is. It's yet another reason why I love reading so much. But to answer your question, I think readers sometimes get autobiographies and memoirs mixed up. So I want to just start there.
Okay.
Whereas autobiographies and other nonfiction titles emphasize facts, memoirs, which is the French word for memory or reminisce, focus on personal experience and emotional truth. So writers of memoirs kind of get a chance to play with their memories in order to tell an engaging story. And for this reason, memoirs are not really bound to traditional expectations around chronology and factual accuracy, okay, like autobiographies and other nonfiction books are. So it's a little more creative, a little more
leeway there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. And I was asking you this morning because the first thing that came to mind, the closest thing that I've read recently was Storyteller by Dave Grohl, who was the drummer for Nirvana and then the front man for the Foo Fighters.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't know. Is this a memoir or is this an autobiography? And so, you in fact told me memoir.
Yeah. If he wrote it, and I have not read that one, I've heard great things about it, but I think there is a lot of creative leeway there. So I would make that, I would call that a memoir, which is a great segue because I feel like when you're reading memoirs, there's sort of two types in general of memoirs. You get the celebrity memoir, which is what we're talking about, right? And then we get the memoir written by kind of the everyday person, which is what I'm going to talk about today.
Okay.
But,
and folks, if you're just joining us, we're with Laura Bird, author, giving us some recommendations for your summer reading list. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat is heading towards the airport, going to be returning to the United States. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat for this final half hour of the show. So
You've got some recommendations for those everyday kind of memoirs for the summer reading list.
I do. Do you want me to tell you really quick? If you love a celebrity memoir, and maybe some of your listeners do, in 2025, there are some very famous people coming out with their tell-alls. And I'm not really going to talk about them today, but Tina Knowles, Chelsea Handler, Jeremy Renner, Brooke Shields, Bill Gates, Margaret Atwood, Joe Piscopo, and Cher all have books coming out this year.
It's a long list. So that's going to be maybe a subject for another morning.
Maybe,
But this morning, you've got a couple of recommendations for memoirs written by everyday people. And this first one, if you've ever had someone in your life or yourself touched by cancer or been terminally ill, what do we have in store for the readers here?
We have Rehearsals for Dying, Digressions on Love and Cancer by Ariel Gore. And I know this is all heavy stuff for Monday morning.
That's a heavy place to start.
It's heavy, but this is reality, right?
And it's a relatable topic. Yes, because if you yourself have not been touched by this subject, there's undoubtedly somebody in your life that has been.
Absolutely. So Ariel Gore's wife, Dina, steps out of the shower one day and says, "Does my breast look weird?" And it does, in fact, look weird. And she is ultimately diagnosed with terminal breast cancer. But with empathy and a lot of humor, Ariel braids Dina's experiences of being sick with her own role as caretaker. And so it's a really heartbreaking and hopeful story.
And hopefully for folks that are going through a similar situation with that and don't know how to either navigate that world or they're looking for some connection for somebody else that has gone through that, an excellent story to be able to relate to.
That's why we read memoirs, right? You can see kind of how people find their sense of resolve, what strategies they use. I mean, there's a lot of courage that goes into writing books like this.
A lot of courage and a lot of love, which I think is a good segue for the next one as well. Do you need a reminder that love is much greater than the narrow ideals we've been taught to want?
Yes, such a great question. Read Love in Exile by Sean Fay. So Sean is a trans woman, and she grew up consumed with the idea that love was not for her. Romantic love and also self-love. And so you can imagine that these feelings like erupted in a lot of really destructive behavior. So now as an adult, she confronts this idea of lovelessness and really believes that it's symptomatic of bigger problems in our culture.
Okay.
So really great book.
All right. And that is number two recommendation from author Laura Bird, who is with us here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And we've got some excellent... If you're watching us on the live streams for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, you can check out Laura's holding up the covers as well for the pieces here in the studio. And up next, we have the question for listeners. Do you have issues around foot and body image?
Food and body image.
Or food, excuse me.
Yeah. So read Hunger, A Memoir of My Body by Roxane Gay. So as a woman who describes her own body as wildly undisciplined, which I think is such a great phrase, Roxane Gay really understands the tension between desire and denial. And so in Hunger, in this new memoir, she writes about food, weight, self-image, and really learning how to feed her hunger while also learning how to take care of herself.
Yeah. And again, a topic that I think there's folks out there in our lives, if not ourselves, people that we know, and an excellent opportunity to be able to read that memoir and really relate to somebody else's story.
Absolutely.
And so up next, we've got, do you want to know more about neurodiversity and how people see the world through different lenses?
Great, great subject. You need to read Normally Weird and Weirdly Normal, My Adventures in Neurodiversity by Robin Ince. So Robin kind of reminds us all that no matter how weird we are or how weird we feel, it's okay to be different. So he's a British broadcaster and comedian, and he's entertained thousands of people in his career. But underneath the surface, he's struggled with self-doubt and near constant anxiety. And he's diagnosed with ADHD at the age of 52.
Wow.
So pretty, you know, later in life. Mm-hmm. And suddenly he needs to figure out how to turn his stumbling blocks into stepping stones. So this is a really quirky and witty dive into the world of human behavior.
And I think I can attest myself as somebody that's been on this side of the microphone, been behind the microphone, feelings like that are definitely present amongst broadcasters. So that I may have to bump that one up to the top of my summer reading list. Folks, you are listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I am Luke Mathers filling in for Pat. He is hopefully going to be with us again tomorrow morning on a Tuesday morning edition of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I am joined right now in studio by author Laura Bird. We're discussing some of the memoirs that she has put together for us in a list to add for your summer reading list, talking to everyday individuals, though. These stories, not necessarily celebrity memoirs, but memoirs written that you can relate to going about your life, if, especially asking these questions. Have you ever grieved a miscarriage or the loss of someone that you love?
This is a tough one. So you need to read Firstborn by Lauren Christensen. So Lauren gets pregnant with a daughter that she and her husband named Simone, only Simone is never born. And Lauren loses her through miscarriage and then comes home from the hospital, you know, racked with grief, understandably, and literally starts writing her memoir. So right then and there. So she writes in this like fierce, intimate style, and she poses a really big, tough question. How do we live when everyone who makes up our world will someday be gone?
And a very powerful question. And I think the self-reflection and the journey that you can go on with Lauren on that one, it seems very, very powerful.
Absolutely.
And so we also have memoirs written for individuals that have given acts of service.
Yes.
So are you a military veteran or are you a military veteran who's a woman? And this one... this title, Laura?
Yeah, Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea, a veteran's memoir by Khadija Queen. This one is getting a lot of hype this year.
Okay.
So it's the late 1990s, and a young Khadija Queen is recruited to join the U.S. Navy while working a minimum wage job and really trying to manage her family's substance abuse problems. So things are pretty tough for her. So she's excited to go into the Navy. You know, she completes her grueling training, boards her ship, and she finds herself in even more traumatic situations because she has to deal with sexual harassment, racism, and some really demeaning labor assignments. So this is her masterful chronicle about survival and autonomy.
And again, situations that everyday folks are navigating, but may not necessarily have the words to fully understand the experiences they themselves have had. And memoirs like these, very, very powerful tools in folks being able to reflect and think deeply about what these subjects are truly trying to tackle.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so maybe the next question we have for this book would be maybe you're questioning the path you're on and wondering if there's a different way to live.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this one.
Oh,
Laura.
So this is a good one. It's called A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun. By Sister Monica Claire. So surprisingly, this is actually a really funny memoir.
Okay.
It's really soulful, funny. And it's about a chronic people pleaser who surprises everyone in her life and kind of herself too, when she abandons her career as a photo editor and leaves her marriage in order to join the convent.
That sounds like a pretty heavy subject to bring some brevity to with comedy though.
Absolutely. So she really writes quite beautifully about the messiness that ensues when she finally stops and listens to that voice inside her head, calling her to a simpler, quieter life. So it's a great testimony about embracing our most authentic selves, even when it's hard and scary.
Okay. All right. And we got a couple more here.
Sure.
We've got recommendations from author Laura Bird. Add for memoirs to your summer reading list. Maybe you want to know what it's like to fight your way through poverty and still have a sense of humor on the other side. So another comedic memoir, or at least with some humor to it.
Yes, there's definitely humor here. And this book, Alligator Tears by Edgar Gomez, is getting a lot of buzz this year. So get your hands on this. In Florida, apparently, I grew up in Wisconsin, so I didn't learn this. Okay. But apparently you're taught as a kid that if you're ever chased by a wild alligator, the only way to save yourself is to run away in zigzags.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I visited Orlando a couple times growing up as a kid, and that sounds vaguely familiar.
Okay Well, that is a lesson on survival that has guided much of author Edgar Gomez's life. And so in this funny, wicked smart memoir, he shares very ziggy zaggy anecdotes of growing up working class, queer, and Latinx, and how he's attempted to claw his family out of poverty by any means necessary.
All right. Another excellent read to add to the summer reading list. We've got a couple more here. We're going to try to add them to the podcast notes because we're running short on time here, Laura. Again, we've been speaking with author Laura Bird here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. I am Luke Mathers, filling in for Pat. I know he's looking forward to the next time you're able to join them here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And we really appreciate you being here in the studio with us this morning, Laura.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, we got Jane Matinere of Matinere on Air coming up to tease what is on her program with Greg Bach this morning. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin has brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matinere on Air.
State Representative Christian Phelps.
As somebody who's in my first term in the legislature, one of the striking things is how seldom the majority party speaks with us. I don't know how many of my colleagues personally feel LGBTQ people don't deserve freedom, but that's kind of irrelevant at the end of the day. They've already spent a number of days attacking trans people because those are days they don't have to spend defending their very unpopular economic agenda.
Matinere on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach, and here is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. While the patio furniture is out, the hoodies are packed away, and the grill is running hot, the official start of summer is right around the corner. But we all know living in the Midwest, it's absolutely up for grabs weather-wise. One day it can be sunny out, the next day it's stormy, and who knows, we can't even count out a snowstorm here and there. But that's when we bring in Civic Media's very own multi-award-winning meteorologist Brittany Merlot to give us the up-to-date and accurate forecast for this week here in southeastern Wisconsin. Brittany?
We've got a bit of a wild weather week ahead of us, with the temperatures cranking up a bit and summer starting to leak in. What do I mean by that? The humidity. It's becoming slightly sticky and muggy today with dew points in the mid-60s, with partly cloudy skies, warm conditions. Highs will reach the upper 80s far west and upper 70s far east today across the state. And of course, this evening, with a cold front poised to push into all of this heat and humidity and fuel, it's waiting to fire up some storms. Of course, some of these could be strong to severe. Storm Prediction Center. They have put far western portions, northern areas, by Minneapolis in an enhanced risk for severe weather today. That's, of course, a 3 out of 5 on that risk scale. And that pretty much extends out of Minneapolis just into our western areas and doesn't even reach to Eau Claire. In fact, Eau Claire and the Chippewa Valley, Rice Lake, even all the way up to Superior. And then down south to just north of La Crosse, that area is in a slight risk for these storms to turn strong to severe this afternoon and evening, which is a 2 out of 5 scale. And areas further to the east, like central Wisconsin, you're in a marginal risk for these storms to stay strong as they're tracking in towards your area, or you could get scraped by them. I'll explain in a minute. But even further east, of course, along Lake Michigan, you are out of the risk of severe weather pretty much. Everything should weaken by the time it gets to you, if you get any at all. So here's what I think is going to be happening this afternoon. Chances for some storms do spark up far northwest Wisconsin. And I think a lot of those are going to be tracking completely eastward, staying into the Northwoods. However, early evening, keep an eye on Minneapolis. Whatever sparks up there, I think could be strong to severe, potentially packing very large damaging hail, and a tornado is possible too. So as this storm moves south, I think it's going to hug the state line in the western area, you know, across Minnesota into the Iowa area. And as this moves south, hail, damaging high wind gusts, and of course a tornado or two are also still possible. So keep an eye on that. It does look to move towards the La Crosse area right as that sun is going down, and then in towards the Madison area late at night. So all severe weather threats are possible. Like I said, the hail could be pretty big. Maybe the size of ping pong balls is possible. We are looking at rainfall that could range anywhere from 1 to 2 inches, maybe more in some spots. But the good news is these storms do look like they're going to be progressing, not kind of sitting still over the same area and causing flash flooding. But either way, heads up for it, because there is that potential for quite a bit of rainfall. Then as we go into Tuesday, we're going to stay stuck with more clouds than sunshine, still feeling very humid, especially down south. Madison, Milwaukee, I mean, even Sheboygan, obviously Kenosha and Janesville, your dew points are going to be in the low 70s. There will be a pretty steep line of mid-60s throughout the Fox Valley and then low 60s further north, which is much more tolerable than the mugginess you're going to be feeling across the southern state line. So as the temperatures rise, we are going to be nearing 90 degrees down south, Milwaukee, Madison. You're going to have the hottest temperatures. Otherwise, up north, low 70s. By Tuesday afternoon, looking at showers and thunderstorms pushing into the southwestern areas of the state, moving through central and southern areas and continuing in towards the Fox Valley by the evening and stopping overnight. We could see some potentially decent rainfall rates down south, where another 0.5 to 1 inch is possible, which flash flooding could occur, especially in urban areas. And the chance for severe is much, much lower. In fact, we're only at a marginal risk, and that extends from La Crosse to about Stevens Point over to Milwaukee and pretty much the rest of the southern half of the state. So not as a severe risk as tonight. And if you think it stops there, it doesn't stop there. As we go into Wednesday, still stuck with mostly cloudy skies, showers and thunderstorms likely, especially in the southern half of the state. Looking at more rain rolling in by the morning, moving in far south, spreading its way into the northern areas by the afternoon, and becoming kind of moderate to heavy at times, especially into areas pretty much from the southeast to Madison, through the Fox Valley, over to Wausau, and over to La Crosse. The system will start to dry things up by Wednesday evening to the south, still staying wet up north. Thursday does look like a drier day, potentially. We could see some more scattered showers and storms sparking up by the evening. Then the heat starts to crank up for Friday and into the weekend. I'm talking hot and humid, summery weather. Get ready. It's going to be a scorcher. So stay safe tonight, stay dry this week, and get ready for the heat. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Thank you so much for the update, Brittany. We'll be hearing from you throughout the day as well as the rest of the week. And just so you are aware, Brittany is not just our meteorologist here at Civic Media, but she also writes great stories on our website. Go to civicmedia.us, click on news and find out stories she's writing about Wisconsin, our beaches, the environment, and all the important things that affect our community. Again, go to civicmedia.us/news. And if you're on the go and you can't listen to us on traditional terrestrial radio, that's okay. Download the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. Was that a pun? You decide. But still, go to your preferred app store, search Civic Media, and download it today. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. It's 8:59.
Is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News brief. At least five dead in Israel from overnight Iranian missile strikes. Israel claims it's hit the headquarters of an elite Iranian military unit. The BBC's Giyar Gol is in Tehran.
Many are extremely worried. They are trying to leave. And even today, police says all the entrance of the city is open for people to leave the city if they wish.
The conflict now expected to take center stage at a meeting of Western leaders in Canada, among them President Trump. CBS's Willie James Inman.
Before he departed for Canada, the president teased that we could potentially see some trade deals announced on the sidelines of the G7 summit.
Police flushed the suspect out of the woods near his home in the murder of a Minnesota lawmaker and her husband. CBS's Lilia Luciano spoke with Vance Belcher's roommate.
He said that he was a born-again Christian. He cared a lot about abortion back in the day when he first became a born-again Christian, but that he didn't talk about it a whole lot.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.